Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In an unprecedented move, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has blocked Texas from enforcing a law that granted local police the authority to arrest and deport migrants, overturning a prior decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. Nicole McCaw, producer and host of the Border War series, joins us now to discuss the latest developments and the implications for the Biden administration and immigration enforcement. Nicole, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, we're glad you could make it. So how does the appellate court's decision impact the enforcement of immigration laws by states? And for that matter, how can a lower court effectively overrule the U.S. Supreme Court?
You know, I thought this would be an interesting opportunity to look back on the history of when we've seen these very specific type of cases where you've had the Supreme Court from the states go up against the federal Supreme Court. And traditionally, the Constitution gives the framework federally to support what the states want to do individually. And I found it very unique looking into this, the Fifth Circuit judge background. Now, he was an Obama-appointed judge. And taking a look at that, after the Supreme Court said, yes, you're allowed to, they came back and made an announcement in which became even louder. Now, if we want to take this back to 2014, there was a bill that Governor Abbott had on his desk where it said the children coming in at the border need to be DNA tested because they're, in fact, being trafficked from other countries. So the lower house passed, the upper house passed, got to Greg's desk. And what did he do? He vetoed that bill. And when he vetoed that, he gave an excuse stating that the American Texas children would be subjected to being tested as well. Now, fast forward to 2 years ago, where now we're boots on the ground. We're running nighttime operations on a 200-acre gaming ranch there in Eagles Pass, which is one of the famous places that's always shown in the Lying Legacy media. And when we were there in one night, we detained 100 illegals, 48 were men. The rest were children that were zip-tied and sedated at 3:30 in the morning. And when the linguist asked, where are the mothers? Each one, all 48, said we're getting a divorce at 3:32 a.m. in the morning at the Texas-Mexico border. So these are the dangers that we're facing when we have individuals in these court systems playing games with the rules and restrictions that need to protect women and children.
That is unbelievable that that's happening, and so sad for our children and women. Nicole, so it just begs the question, though, What are the broader implications of this legal back and forth for federal and state relations in immigration policy? It seems like that's really going to muddy the waters.
Excellent question. This is something that I found personally that actually helped me understand a little bit more on the persuasive narrative that everyone is constantly being berated. Mind you, I am from Detroit, Michigan, inner city. That's where I'm from. That's my background. So when I went to the border, something that I found was it totally put the scales down for my eyes was that when you're talking to these individuals, that you're asking them, okay, this gentleman in Juarez, not gentleman, excuse me, this foot smuggler, I was just trying to be appropriate. this guy, foot smuggler, he had a tent mansion. And when I mean the canvas tent, I mean a tent mansion. And he had all these pesos. He had drugs and naked women everywhere. I mean, he thought he was balling, okay? And when the linguist asked him, what contributes to your wealth? How are you so wealthy? He said, invitation, which means invitation in English. And then when we asked him, what do you mean by invitation? Someone handed you an invitation. He said, Joe Biden in English. Then proceeded to explain how the world is watching what's happened with the American elections, and that dictates more than a lot of, I think, American citizens understand. So when these individuals are playing games, it sends an outside message to those people, come here, you can make problems, we won't prosecute you. Look at the magistrate from El Paso, a magistrate. He's supposed to have the highest moral ethics and stick to the Constitution only. And now he's saying those who hurt our police, those who hurt our Border Patrol, actually are now going to not be prosecuted because they felt it would hurt their feelings. Do you know what hurts my feelings? When my nephew overdosed overdosed three times in 48 hours on fentanyl because that's what's coming through the border.
Yeah. Well, once again, we're visiting with Nicole McCaw, producer and host of the Border War series. So, Nicole, the left has been demonizing Governor Abbott and the legislature since the law passed. Can you tell us what was the motivations behind Texas's law?
I think that they should have been harsher when it comes. If you take a look at the bill SB4, the one that we're discussing, there's a website, a free website. Everybody can go to legiscan.com, type in SB4, and it gives you the summary, how long it's been in there, who voted for it, how many times it went up to the lower, back down, and back and forth. And it's been there since November 7th of last year. We're well into April. And when you look at the summary, it doesn't talk about those who are committing murders like, you know, Lincoln Riley and those many other families who have been affected by these murderers and rapists coming in. 60 to 80% of the women and children are being raped coming in at the border by these individuals. So they need harsher punishments. This was only for those, if you got caught drunk driving and you're here illegally, to be able to deport them. If you take a look at it, it didn't say anything else saying, oh, he looks like he's from Mexico, I'm going to bother him. That's something that's being exploited and a lie.
Well, it sounds like citizens are dealt with more harshly than illegals coming across our border. I know this may be a little bit off topic, but I did see that earlier this week, Mexico's president, Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, used the collapsed bridge in Baltimore as an excuse to criticize American treatment of those crossing the border from Mexico illegally. Were you aware of that? And if so, what are your thoughts?
I did see that, and I thought it was disgusting of somebody in such a high position who's supposed to be tending to the welfare of his people to try to extort money. Did you see that he said that the United States needs to be paying him? And if they don't, he's going to continue. $20 billion, I believe that was the number. I'm sure someone can correct me here if I am off. But, yes, it was in the billions, and, yes, it was at least two digits. I'm sorry, sir. These people are coming up through your country. Close the border. You can actually do something about it. I personally think he's being paid as well. Everyone is being paid with their hand in the kitty when it comes to this. This is my understanding. With these fake proxy wars happening with the Ukraine-Russian situation, look how much money is being spent, $460 billion. I'm looking for a third job right now. I mean, that's wild.
I want him to try and get that money from President Trump. Well, Nicole, for those of our listeners who may not be familiar with border wars, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, thank you so much for asking. So I spent 2 years going to the border to film in secret what was happening, whether there are border crossers, the cartels, child sex trafficking, the fentanyl coming in. We went back and forth, talked to families all along the border to ask them, do you want it open? Do you want it closed? And here's there lately, there's been a lot of great border pieces that came out, but this is what stands out from the other ones. This, I have 200 hours of personal boots on the ground footage working with the different former three-letter agencies and special forces, working with them on child sex trafficking state to state. And I will tell you, the girls that come forward to share their journey and what happened with them will blow your mind. Here's a little snippet. There's a girl in there, Christy Moore. She was born in Action Park, New Jersey. She was held in a basement in Long Island for 3 years in New York, being sold to construction workers 20, 30 times a night.
My good, you know, it's just hard to believe that this is America and this is what is happening. But I appreciate all that you're doing, Nicole, and drawing attention to this. And so if viewers want to watch Border Wars, where can they follow your work for more insights into this immigration and border security?
Please go to my website, borderwarsdoc.com, borderwarsdoc.com.
Well, I'm sure we'll have a lot of people check that out, and we appreciate you so much for joining us this evening. And, Nicole, please keep up the good work in drawing attention to this that's going on at our border.
Thank you, ma'am.
Friday was the last day of the regular legislative session, also known as first adjournment. All week, conference committees met and negotiated the details of legislation, including the budget and a tax package. But how will their efforts impact you, and did they do enough to really impact spending in Topeka? With us now to answer those questions is Elizabeth Patton with Americans for Prosperity. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Renee. I appreciate having me on tonight.
Well, I've seen you all week to the wee hours of the morning, and so late Saturday night, and with little to no help from Laura Kelly, the legislature came together to send a very clear message. Kansans deserve tax relief. The plan that passed unanimously in the House and with bipartisan support in the Senate, there's significant property tax relief. It increases the residential exemption on the state's 20 mil property tax rate from $42,000 to $100,000 and lowers the rate to 19.5 mils. It eliminates the tax on Social Security. It implements a simpler and more competitive dual rate income tax bracket. And it eliminates the bottom bracket altogether, takes the middle to 5.15% and the top rate to 5.55%. There's also significant income tax relief with an increase of the personal income exemption to $7,000 for single filers and $14,000 for joint, and takes the food sales tax to zero on July 1st. Elizabeth, are you happy with the plan that passed?
You know, I was, and obviously everybody knows we've been fighting so hard for a single rate for a long time, largely because we want to see Kansas be more competitive, and we want to see every single Kansan get a pay raise because there's almost now $4 billion in excess, not including our rainy day fund. So we've been wanting to try to get that money back to Kansans. And we ultimately think this is a really strong first step towards significant income tax reform for our state to make us more competitive with our neighbors. We were really proud of the work the legislature did. And I know it was a long night, but after everything and all the back and forth, I think it's a great package. And you saw, as you know, it was bipartisan in the Senate and unanimous in the House. And gosh, Laura Kelly really ought to sign this bill.
Well, we're hearing she may, but nothing for certain yet. And speaking of the governor, she wanted to continue to grow state government with a 13% increase in her budget recommendation. The legislature cut that recommendation, but are still spending more in 2024 and 25. Are you at all concerned about the trend of continued increased spending in Topeka?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we are. We have seen the state budget grow, and if you look at over the last 10 to 12 years, it's grown about 60%. And last year, we came out with a report that found a little over $800 million of, honestly, what we would define as truly excess, places in the Kansas budget where if it all went away tomorrow, that's almost $1 billion. And if it went away tomorrow, there would be zero interruption in the way the state operates. No one would even notice. And these are things like positions that haven't been filled in years, programs that aren't being utilized, things like that. And I am concerned. And as the budget keeps growing well beyond, you know, inflation or cost of living type of rates, you know, we want to make sure that we have fiscal sanity in the state, and we hope that future legislatures, probably maybe with the help of a different governor who doesn't just like spending everyone's money all the time, can restore maybe some more balance to the way that we do our budgeting. Maybe something like a structural balance budgeting program or something that gives performance-based budgeting a little more teeth.
Elizabeth, I don't want to distract you, so if you're driving, drive carefully, okay? But I have to cut in, and I'm gonna cut in so Renee doesn't have to ask about this, because I don't want to diminish the good work that they did on the tax cuts. Sure. I'm like you; I was hoping for a flat cut tax, and we're all glad to see Topeka cutting taxes. But you know, they've got a near $4 billion surplus. And the legislator devoted, you know, barely 10% of it to cutting taxes. And I guess part of the problem is, well, I think the problem is who's on the second floor. And I guess my question is that really what the problem here is? Because if Derek Schmidt or Chris Kobach or Wink Hartman or anybody with an R behind their name were there, we'd have a bigger tax cut, really. I guess that's what I'm coming to the point here is if we wouldn't have a $4 billion surplus, we'd have a bigger tax cut if Laura Kelly wasn't on the second floor. Is that really where we're at?
Yeah, I believe so, because that surplus, you know, honestly, if Laura Kelly, the balance is good, right? If she had her way, we wouldn't have a surplus because she would have spent it all. But if we had somebody else on the second floor, I think we wouldn't have as big of a surplus because that would have been returned to the taxpayers. I mean, it's our money. It doesn't need to just be sitting in Topeka. But at the same time, what has passed is, you know, within all of that, you want it to be responsible and sustainable. And I think we see that in what just passed. And I do think there's room. I think what we'll see and what we've seen in other states is that we'll see more economic benefit, and we'll see this continue to be a good thing for our state, a good thing for our economy. And we're excited. We called it in our statement. We were very pleased with what passed, but we called it step one on the Prosperity Express. And, of course, that's what we've been working on all year is talking about the Prosperity Express. And part of that is probably in the future more income tax cuts, but also smarter budgeting and more efficient use of the way that we budget our tax dollars.
That's absolutely a great way to put it. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. Elizabeth, I don't know if you're aware, but Kansas was given a D rating as one of the least tax-friendly states in the U.S. in a recent nationwide study. Governor Kelly has vetoed more than 25 tax cuts since she was first elected. Any guess as to whether this one will be tax veto number 26?
I sure hope not. There's no telling at this point. I know she, the rumor is she didn't like it because it was a little bit more expensive than she wanted, but only about $25 million, which in the grand scheme of things is not enough to warrant a veto. And I think if she vetoes it, then, as we already know, I think it just demonstrates that she is just unserious and uncommitted to providing tax relief, and she just wants to keep it to spend. So I'm hopeful that it is not number 26, but if it is, we remain committed to trying to override that veto so that Kansans get their money back.
More of that middle-of-the-road governing from the governor.
No kidding.
Well, despite what the governor says, the facts are the Kansas economy continues to struggle. Isn't that correct? And what are your thoughts on that, Elizabeth?
That is correct. We're actually, I think, below number 38. At one point, we were 38. Now we're even lower for the amount of wage and income growth in the country and with our overall job growth. And what we've seen is Laura Kelly is growing government, not the private sector, which is not really like our economy, genuinely. She's not really growing jobs. She's trying to grow government and say that that's growing the economy, which is, we all know, not the same thing. And you're right. We do get a D because of our tax structure. All the states around us have income taxes that are in the 4% and below, some of them well on their way to zero. And when you look at that and you want our state to be a place where people can, and not just people, but people and businesses both look at our state and say, I want to move there and invest and create jobs, or I want to move there and live and work. Like, we want to be a place where people can thrive and not just survive, but thrive. So we need to keep working on that, and we can get there. Kansas is actually one of the only second to Alaska. So in the contiguous United States, excuse me, Sunday night I'm driving because I misscheduled myself. Apologies. But we are the second most governed state in the entire United States. And that means per capita, we have more government per capita than anyone else in the United States except Alaska. That is not great. That's not a good thing. And there is so much room for us to be better and trade that for private sector. And we're confident with the right policies in place, that's where Kansas can get, and we can be a much more successful place.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here. And once again, we're visiting with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. So, Elizabeth, not only here in Kansas, but the White House has been bragging about progress under Bidenomics. But if you look at the numbers, is there really anything at all to brag about?
There's really not. In fact, we have pulled some numbers, and every American household on average is spending about $11,400 more every year than they did just to maintain their same standard of living than they did the day that Joe Biden took office. So since Joe Biden's been president, it is costing Americans over $11,000 more a year just to come up to be the same as they were before. And that is a travesty. And on top of that, it's even worse because it doesn't have to be that way. And that's because of his policies that, again, are just like Laura Kelly's, and for that matter, J.B. Pritzker, who's one of the biggest donors to the Middle of the Road Pact. It's big government. It's more spending. It's more waste. It's more control over our everyday lives. And that's not creating a strong economy. It's the opposite of that. And it's costing Americans more every day.
Yeah, just the opposite of what we know works. And I appreciate you and all that your organization does to fight against this. And Elizabeth, we appreciate you joining us. And if folks want more information, they can find you on X at AFP Kansas and online at afpkansas.org, correct?
Absolutely. You can also follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. We update all of those social media platforms as well as online. Stay in touch, find out what we're following, what we're doing, and we'd love to have anybody join us. We have an upcoming event in Wichita this Thursday, the 11th. So take a look at our website for that information with Todd Starnes. And also, we've got things going on all over the state all the time. So if anyone wants to get involved, look us up. We have fun.
Well, drive carefully, and thank you again for taking the time to visit with us tonight, Elizabeth. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Each week during the legislative session, we bring you an update from Topeka on the latest bills and activity from our state capitol. With us now to bring us this week's Under the Dome legislative update is State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, see, we just had to switch roles here, John, because now I'm going from interviewer to interviewee.
It's amazing how that works. I'm not in my usual seat, though. I'm not used to this. It's bizarre. I feel this is just cattywampus. Everything's backwards. All right, so I've got a list of questions here. I want to start with the one, because the media always complains about this. The Democrats often complain about this. And I think listeners probably hear the stories about the midnight rule and legislatures being, you know, laws being written in the middle of the night. It's unfair. It's wrong. So explain the midnight rule to my listeners and then tell me what you think about it. So what is the midnight rule and what do you think about, you know, laws being done after dark?
Well, conference committee week is kind of unique. You know, it's already gone through committee process during day. This is just where the House and Senate get together and hash out their differences and come up with what's called a conference committee report. And that's actually what you're voting on at this point. So it's not like these are things that haven't been vetted, haven't been talked about for the most part. But the midnight rule came about, it's my understanding, from a time when the legislature was working till the wee hours of the morning, and unfortunately a legislator left trying to drive home, had an accident, and unfortunately passed away. So they implemented this midnight rule so that we don't go too late and people try to make it home and, you know, are too tired to drive. So it can be waived. You can vote to suspend the midnight rule, which is what happened a couple times this week, as a matter of fact.
I mean, every year I was in the legislature, this happens. And for the audience that don't understand why, it's because when you're at this time in the session and you're up against the days, quote unquote, days that are left in the session, when you're like the drop dead date, or for that matter, if it's the 90th day, because in statute, during even numbered years, the legislature is limited to 90 days. So if it's day 90, for example, and you're, you know, on day 90, midnight technically would be the end of the 90th day, but it's not necessarily at 12:01, because if they suspend the rule, then that 90th day could go well into day 91 as long as they don't adjourn, correct? So they could extend it into, if it's, say, day 90 falls on a Friday, they could go into early Saturday morning as long as they haven't adjourned, correct?
Correct.
So that's the midnight rule allows you to work after dark, and that's what happens. Now, a lot of people will say that the reason they're doing this is so that they hope legislators are up and they're tired and they just will vote yes for stuff so that they can get out of there because they're tired and they're weary and they just want to go home. Or that leadership is doing it to punish people and sweat it out, make them vote for things they don't want to. I don't know if I'm not part of leadership. You are. I think it's more just because the process takes a long time and you're up against a deadline and you work until you get it done. That's my perception. I don't think maybe when I was a freshman, it might have been used that way, but I don't think now they're using it as a tactic. It's just the time is what the time is.
Oh, I don't think so either, John. You know, it does take a long time, and trying to coordinate schedules for, you know, the House will be on the floor voting or taking final action, and we're waiting to meet with them to get a conference committee going. And it's just hard to coordinate and get all the work done that you need to get done. And in fact, I think a lot of times we work really late because people, I heard this, you know, in just a couple of days ago, I can't stay over through Saturday. I've got a wedding or I've got this. And so I think that leadership's trying to get us out. And sometimes that means working late.
Yep. I've got vacation. I've got this, that, and the other. So we've talked enough, I think, about the budget. We've talked enough about the tax bill. Tell me a little bit about some of the bills that were left on the table, things that you guys didn't get accomplished. For the listeners, you guys now have, what, 3-4 weeks off. You'll go back for veto session, which is, you know, typically no longer than a few days, a week at most, where you will take up whatever Laura Kelly vetoes, might be the tax bill, will certainly be the trans protection for, you know, trans, barring the bill that banned gender-affirming care, is what they call it. I call it, you know, mutilating kids. But at any rate, that bill she'll veto, so you'll have to take that up. But what else needs to be taken up? Because I imagine there's still a bunch of legislation that you'll have to take up when you go back.
Yeah, there are a lot of conference committee reports hanging out there to be run across the floor and get those done. Some of the ones that I'm most familiar with in the committees that I'm on and have been working, there's a huge child care bill out there, which basically the governor's wanting to create this Office of Early Childhood.
Yeah, which is just growing government. We don't need, you heard Elizabeth.
Right.
We've got the second most government in the country. Why do we need more government, and especially more government under Laura Kelly?
Right. That one's hanging out there. There's a lot of interest on that as a way to deal with what is being framed as workforce development issue because, you know, we need workers and child care's an issue for getting those workers to work. And so that one is hanging out there. Some things dealing with China, actually.
The drone bill.
The drone land acquisition and China doing that. Yeah. And there's quite a few out there around health. We've got one hanging out there that prevents the government and hospitals from refusing to let people in to visit their loved ones during a end of life or visit them when there's a pandemic or something like we saw happen with COVID.
That medical marijuana bill, you love that one. I know you're a big fan of that bill. I'll just leave that one right
there.
Yeah,
we'll just skim right over that one and go to some less controversial ones. Are there any on abortion or anything like that hanging out there we can talk about, Sean?
Why don't we talk about guns or something?
Yeah, there we go. Something less controversial than marijuana.
So what bills that folks might have been tracking died and didn't get through and are now done that you know they were hoping to get accomplished? And unfortunately, for one way, you know, either failed. And I know there were a couple that I remember reading that are escaping me right now that didn't make it out of either chamber and are now, you know, DOA.
Yeah, honestly, there's quite a few. One that popped up here kind of at the end of session is the data center bill. I don't know if you were aware of that one, but about 30 states now have bills allowing these data centers to come in. Missouri just got, I think, Google or one of the big guys coming in into Missouri, but we don't have the structure in place to allow that. Came late in the session. That one didn't make it out. I think overall we got most of the substantive lifts out, and quite frankly, nothing was going to move till this tax bill moved. And I'll tell you the other reason is in an election year, we try not to do anything that might be what, you know, we all know is postcard issues.
Right. Oh, and I know Laura Kelly was pushing or David Toland was pushing for another APEX, kind of an APEX light version. That didn't happen either.
Didn't happen.
Well, and probably good. I don't think we should be really pursuing another massive economic, and don't get me wrong, I support economic development, but it has to be done the right way. But I don't think we should be doing another APEX style economic development issue until we at least see what kind of bang for their buck we get out of the Panasonic deal, frankly.
And I think you're spot on, John. I think a lot of legislators feel that way. Look, we took a big step in the APEX bill. Why don't we wait and see if that works before we double down and do any more?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think taxpayers would reward you for that and probably punish you for doing it again. If we, you know, I mean, we still haven't seen, they're not creating the jobs yet. They're not, heck, the plant's not up and running. We're not seeing the benefit yet. And right now, if we try to do something big like that again without bang for our buck, I think you're smart. I think that's probably the right way to pursue that kind of venue.
Remember, next week's guest host is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty. And remember to get your tickets for the Kansans for Life Banquet Friday, April 12th at the B29 Dock Hangar and Visitor Center, featuring CEO of the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon, with Master of Ceremonies, our very own John Whitmer of KNSS. Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for calling in.
Good evening, Senator. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. And you?
Very well. You've done an excellent job. I appreciate that. And since the word marijuana did come up, I just wanted to opine real quick here. It's one thing to lose elections to believing in abortion. Believing in the sanctity of life. I think losing an election because you're an abortion believer or a life believer, that's one thing. But the interpretation of the supremacy and the Commerce Clause, I don't think the founders intended the federal government to tell what anybody can plant or can't plant. And I didn't really understand why we had that hearing on the pilot program, because it just seemed to me like it was done to poke fun and be hostile at supporters of cannabis reform and conservative principles of traditional values, including self-reliance, individual liberty, and limited government. And I wanted to ask John, you know, we talked about maybe having a debate about the cannabis issue. I'd even be willing to do the hosting, maybe if I get Kevin Sabet from the marijuana group to come, maybe he'd let me do that. But anyway, I was
Nick,
also looking
I'd,
on
I'd love to do another marijuana debate. We've done that. I typically do that
cannabis.
Once a year. You call it cannabis, potato, patata. You call it cannabis. I call it what it is, marijuana. But yes, if you want to do another marijuana debate, I'm happy to do it. We did that last year. We had Eric Smith, and I can't remember who the pro marijuana advocate was, but we usually do that once a year.
And that was me.
Yeah, well, that's right. It was you. If you want to do that again, I'd be happy to do that again. Because it's always a good debate.
The thing is, we are loading up our children on diagnoses and Adderall and sugar and all this stuff, yep. But the hypocrisy of not allowing what is already approved in certain medications, whether it's THC or CBD, and plus we already have dispensaries selling crazy products that we need to get stopped anyway and allow the natural plant. But, hey, let's hope this election keeps good conservatives in. I've seen elections where we've lost conservatives like Mitch Holmes, Greg Smith, and Forrest Knox, and I don't want good Republicans, good conservatives to lose because of a liberty issue like cannabis. But anyway, thanks, John, for
appreciate
all you do,
you,
and you, Senator, and you have a good night, and God bless you.
You know, he makes a good point. He makes a good point, Renee. The one thing that and Nick loves to point out that cannabis, marijuana is a plant. But, you know, opium's a plant, too. I mean, the problem that I've had, and this is the one thing that I've always pointed out, is you know, this is not Willie Nelson's marijuana anymore. This is the way they treat the stuff. This is the THC content in this stuff anymore is so high that I...
No pun intended there.
Oh, I see what I did there.
Yes, you see what you did there, John.
That was nicely done.
Yeah, so. You're absolutely right, and I'm sorry that Nick felt like, you know, the hearing was anything other than what it was intended to be, which was debate a serious issue. Well, that's all the time we have. Have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scored.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.